You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lay.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Today I have with me two-time Global Music Award winner, Native American Music Award winner, Indigenous Artist Activist Award winner, radio talk show host, and author, Dr. Dawn Karima. Welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate your hospitality.
It is indeed a pleasure to have someone like you here with us today. So tell us, who is Dawn Karima, and give us a little bit of your backstory.
Well, I think that when I think of myself these days, I have to celebrate the fact that I'm a new mom. I have a beautiful baby boy born on New Year's Day. Thank you. So my whole identity has changed in 2019. But I have the pleasure of living the life that I dreamed about. I work as a broadcaster. I work in media, and I love every minute of that. And I've had the pleasure of having a new book out. I wrote a book in honor of my son, and it's called Mother of Nations. And it's from Uttered Chaos Press, and you can find that at utteredchaos.org or at amazon.com. And this book was written in honor of my son. It's my first collection of poetry. I have two novels out already. One of them is The Way We Make Sense, and you can find that on Amazon. And the other one is The Marriage of Saints. You can also find that on Amazon as well. And so I'm very excited about Mother of Nations because it's the first time I have a book entirely of poetry. So it was a wonderful way to welcome my son and mark the transition, because Mother of Nations is actually my Native American name. So it was actually a wonderful way to welcome my son, but also make the transition to motherhood. So when you say, who am I? I've had a really large transitional shift recently when I think about who I am. But the backstory is that I have the great honor of getting to do wonderful things that I love and using my gifts and talents. And for me, that all boils down to leading with love. You know, how can you serve people? How can you be a blessing to people? How can you honor God and use your gifts and talents? And I get to do that through music, like my CD, The Desire of Nations, that won a Native American Music Award and a Global Music Award. And then I have another CD called The Stars of Heaven, which is nominated for an Indigenous Music Award and also won a Global Music Award. And so then I have my show, which is the great, wonderful thing that I get to do. It's called A Conversation with Dawn Karima. And we have the blessing of being able to bring Indigenous inspirational people into the mainstream. Conversations with people who are doing really positive things in our community. So when you ask about the backstory, it's that I basically get to do what I love. And I'm so honored and humbled by that, that I get the opportunity to do things that are just a joy every day.
Wow, that is powerful. I love your humility. It says a lot. It really tells volume. So give us a little about your journey as an author.
Well, first, I want to say something about humility, because I think that's a value that's missing in our society.
Right.
Humility comes before honor. And so many people think that you have to swagger and you have to brag and you have to be loud and boisterous and you know,
body check everybody and knock them out of the way and let everyone look at me, look at me, look at me. And it's really not true. Humility comes before honor. If you'll walk and you'll just say, here are my gifts and talents. I recognize where they come from. I know that they are a gift to me. I know it's not because of anything I deserve, but because I did it. It's just because of the mercy of God, really, right? And you'll walk in that humility and that attitude. It'll protect you. It'll protect you from wrong people and bad influences. It'll protect you from pride. It'll protect you from foolishness. It'll protect you from wasting your time. Because you'll realize that you're a steward of these things, that they're gifts to you, and that that way they should be used as gifts to other people. So that said, writing is something that I've always done. When I was a preschooler, my mother bought a notebook, and she took dictation of my stories and poems until I was old enough to write for myself. And as a child, I started having pieces published in various magazines and journals and things like that. And so I knew that the way with words was a gift that I had been given. And so I've always been writing, and I've always been a published writer since I was a little girl. But I had the pleasure of getting a Master's of Fine Arts in creative writing. And The Way We Make Sense, my first novel, was actually my master's thesis from Aunt Lee's book. And so from there on, I'm amazed. And when you talk about humility, getting published is a really humbling thing. Because you wrote it, you think it's great, you took the risk to send it off, but the fact that someone likes it and they put their time into it to edit and their money into it to publish and their resources in to promote it, that is a very humbling thing. It means that someone else looks at what you've done and feels like they should invest in it as well. And so that's my journey to being an author. My first novel, The Way We Make Sense, was a finalist for the Native American First Book Award. My second novel, which is part of the University of Oklahoma's American Indian Studies series, was a finalist for the Mexico Book Award. And now we have Mother of Nations, which is my new book. And this is my first book of poetry. All the others are fiction and nonfiction. And then I have other nonfiction books. I have a book on Kindle called What to Do If You Don't Know What to Do, which, I mean, if you live long enough, it's going to happen. And then I have another nonfiction book, Children Learn, which is about multiculturalism and spirituality in children's literature. So when I look at my journey, I see the books as milestones, but in between them, there's lots of poetry and articles and other pieces as well.
Wow. So tell us about your journey as an artist.
Well, as a musical artist and even as a filmmaker, I think that all those seeds were planted in my childhood. And I think that's important for me to say. Someone needs to hear that right now, because I really believe our gifts and talents are in us, even when we're children. And so if you're a parent right now, watch your children. What do they lean toward? What do they like doing? What brings them a fulfillment and peace and joy? What do you see in them that you recognize might be a gift or a talent? And I think so often we're tempted to tell our children what to do. We're tempted to say, this is the path that you should go on, and this is the path of success, and this is what people do when they're successful. And we need to actually learn to read our children. But we also need to learn to read ourselves. What do you like to do? What is it that when you do it, people say, well, that was great. I enjoyed that. Thank you. Or I feel better. Or that really helped me. Or I learned something from you. What is it that when you do it, you hate it? It's drudgery. It's misery. It's wretchedness. Don't do that. And I think when you look at the gifts and talents, those will always surface and they will protect you. A gift will make room for you. It'll bring you before great people. It'll open doors that you can't open by yourself. Your business card might not open that door, but you can open that door with your gift. I've been to conferences and meetings where I wasn't on the program, but when they saw I was there and they heard I could sing, they made room for me.
Wow.
And I think it's important to identify those gifts. So I'm thankful that my musical gifts were identified when I was a small child. Literally the first time I stand in a concert hall with an audience of several hundred people and a microphone and I sing a solo and everybody claps, I'm probably 4.5 years old. And so from then on, that was a gift that people sought me out. It opened doors for me. Come to our conference and sing the national anthem. And while you're there, give a presentation. I sang in churches. I sang in schools. I sang in sports. I did the national anthem at sports events. I did all kinds of things along the way, constantly, that then brought me to the attention of people who could produce music. And then that's where the Stars of Heaven and the Desire of Nations, which are my award-winning CDs, and those are on iTunes, they're on Amazon, you can find those. And that's how that door opened. I just used the gift I had. I sang, and I just used the gift that I had. And the same thing came, you know, filmmaking came out of stories, really, my novels, my stories. They started, the poetry, it started to translate into these short films that I would make. And then they would go to festivals and they would win awards. And nobody was more surprised than I was. And you go, wow, this is awesome. So that's my artistic journey. And I feel like for all of us, we're all on a journey. We all have gifts and talents. And so we need to remember that. But those gifts are not something that we should put off till later or ignore or say, okay, I really like doing that, but I've got to get over here and make a living by doing this or this or this. Your gifts will tell you something about your call, your vocation, what you're created to do. So pay attention to them because they'll lead you.
Wow, you're ready to have me in tears over here. This interview is probably the most personal interview that I have had out of all of the interviews so far. I'm literally praying, mascara, please don't run down. We're on camera over here. I'm like, you know, because For me, I think that last part that you said, I'm a little lost for words. I'm sorry, because this interview is surreal right now. At this point in my life, and I recently said this on one of my coaching lives on Facebook, that I felt like I started to lose focus off of film and off of my passions and my gifts, because I thought that maybe entrepreneur and marketing would have been a faster road to get me to success, and then I could come back to it, and I started feeling lost. So hearing you say that, and someone with your achievements, is confirmation that, hey, guys, use your gifts, you know? Focus on your purpose and your passion, and that is real. So I'm going to take a detour a little here and kind of go deeper into that. Why do you think it is that we as people tend to get sidetracked to a shorter route to success or to making it in life or getting the life that we want, as opposed to being consistent with our gifts and really just going through the process of working it out or working towards it?
I think maybe we need to reconsider our definition of success. Because if you said to me that you wanted to go somewhere, let's say we all want to go to Hawaii, right? We all want to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, there's a certain plane at the airport that's going to Hawaii. That might be the only plane that's going to Hawaii. You can't get on the plane to Pittsburgh and get to Hawaii. Yeah. And so I think what happens to a lot of us with gifts and talents is that society says, first of all, success equals money. So I meet people who are fabulous musicians, and they don't do that. They work in, you know, something that they hate to do because they think they can't make any money. Or people say, okay, success is lots and lots of degrees. Well, I have a lot of degrees. And I love having them, but that was part of my path. But for people who might, that might not be their gift. They might have a gift in something that doesn't require lots and lots of degrees. That doesn't make them any less successful. And so I think we need to be sure that when we get on the plane, it's going to Hawaii, if that's where we're trying to go. And sometimes with success, we don't know. And so we don't have the right definition of success when we start out. Or we have someone else's definition of success. You know, Grandma always wanted me to be a preacher, and now I'm a preacher, but I'm really not happy because I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do. Right? I mean, I meet people like this. I do coaching. Now at this point, I speak much more than I sing. And I get to speak at international events, conferences, corporations bring me in. And I kind of consider myself a spiritual cheerleader. My job is just to cheer you on, you know, and to encourage you and to bless you. And then you can run the race that's set before you. But be real careful that you're running your own race and not running somebody else's race. Yeah. See, I meet people, they're running somebody else's race. Their guidance counselor told them 25 years ago they should go into engineering, and they're in engineering, and they hate every minute of it, but it makes a lot of money, or their guidance counselor said so, or their mom and dad, that whole family has always been in a certain business, and so they go into the business too, and now they're there, and they're miserable, and they're not even really good at it because their heart's not in it, right? Now, that said, I am not giving you permission to live in your mom's basement and be a rapper and make no money. Please do not quote me, right? You're not supposed to be a starving artist. Right. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Your gift, one of the signs that it's a gift and a real true gift from God to you is that it'll prosper you. Mm. So if you've been selling CDs out of your car and you've never had a concert appearance, no one's ever asked you to come and perform, you know, I'm going to ask you to reconsider if that's really your gift, right? But one of the things about a gift is when you use it, it turns in your hand, it turns over in your hand, and it brings things towards you, and it gives you good connections. You meet good people because of your gift. You use it, and people are helped and blessed and encouraged and uplifted. You use it, and it does prosper you. It opens doors for you. It makes connections for you. It does bring some money in. Now, when I first started writing, I published pieces that I didn't get paid for. But this far along in the game, I'm getting paid. So I think we have to remember that, right? Because a gift always has progress. You should get better at singing or rapping or basketball or network marketing. If it's 20 years from now and you still are where you were 20 years ago, maybe that's not a gift. I don't know. I can't tell you that, but I would reevaluate. Because anything that doesn't grow isn't godly. So, I mean, right? I mean, that's just true. If you planted a flower, if you planted some seeds and a flower never grew, you wouldn't be like, well, those are great seeds. Oh, wow, those are great. No, you'd say those seeds didn't work. Nothing grew. So what I want you to think about in terms of career and success is, first of all, are you really using the right definition of success?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you that, right? Because I see people and I meet them and they're on the wrong plane. They're not going to make it to Hawaii because they're on the plane to Seattle. They're not going to make it to Hawaii because they're on the plane to Philadelphia. And I feel like saying to all of us, check what plane you're on, you know, and I don't mean that literally. I just mean, just check. I mean, here's the other part. What are your real goals? Mm. Tell the truth about your goals. See, in our society, so many of us are trained to say the right thing and we become parrots. We actually, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it big. I'm going to make it. I'm going to really do it. I'm done. And we sound very cliched, but we do it. But what if your goal is like my goal? My goal was to have a family. That was my main goal. And so when I look at my career, there are things I've turned down because I want to raise my son. I want to be at home with him. So, you know, recently I was asked about, you know, traveling to another country and doing some work there. No, I'm not going there. Because God has given me this beautiful baby, and I'm his mama, and it's my job to raise him. And that would not work for me to be elsewhere right now. But somebody else, their goal might be to be all over the world. I want to live everywhere. I want to see everything. Then they would take that opportunity. And again, I'm not saying one's bad or one's good. I'm just saying be sure you know what your definition of success is before you decide if you're successful. If I had $5 million right now in my hand and had no children, I would not feel successful.
Wow.
But I know other people that their goal is to be a millionaire. And so the day they got their million, they wouldn't care if their wife divorced them. They wouldn't care what happened. They would just be like, I'm a success. both people are good people. Both people are fine people. But you need to make sure before you decide if you're unsuccessful or successful that you've got the right definition of success for you and for your life. Okay. And the second thing is, what were your goals to begin with? See, I think a lot of people were using other people's goals. You know, your mom wanted you to be a doctor. Now you're a doctor, but it was really never your goal. So that's why you're unhappy and you go there and you're depressed. So be careful that it's your goal. It's really your goal. Okay? And nobody can set that goal for you. I have a dear friend who played in the NBA, and he and I have teamed up to do some projects and youth projects, and he played in the NBA. And I said, isn't that wonderful? You made it all the way to the NBA. And he said, yes, all right. Do you not know that playgrounds are filled with people who want to go to the NBA? And he said, well, really? He didn't want it. He wanted to be a teacher. That's what he wanted to do. But his dad had tried to make it to the NBA, didn't make it to the NBA, and pushed him his whole life till he made it to the NBA. So the whole time he was in the NBA, he really wasn't having that good of a time because it wasn't his goal. He was just there like, well, all right, I'm here. But it was someone else's goal. Now he teaches school, and he's the happiest person you would ever want to meet. I mean, seriously. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm starting this youth club, and I'm starting this mentoring thing. And I'm like, wow. Wow. So be careful when we're measuring success and who's not a success and who is a success. And be sure that you have the right definition of success. And that the goals that you're trying to get to be successful are really your goals. Because otherwise you could end up there and be miserable. You could end up there and just be like, I don't know why, what am I doing in life? So we want you to get to the goals that are really your goals. Now that said, I'm not giving you permission to slack. I'm not giving you permission to not use your gifts and talents. I have a lot of gifts and talents. And from the time I was tiny, my mother said to me, to whom much is given, much is required. I mean, I was a little child, and she would say that all the time. So in other words, if you have gifts and talents, we need you. We expect you to jump up in this and use those gifts and talents to help other people and bless other people and be a service, be of use.
Okay, sorry for cutting you off, but about many gifts and talents, I have a query, and this is also from a personal place. What if you have many gifts and talents? How do you actually know which one to lead with? Because, for example, people like you and I, we can do many things, and there are a lot of people out there who are seriously confused. I mean, I'm good at this, I'm good at admin, but I'm also good at writing, but I'm good at this. How do you know which gift or gifts to lead with?
That's a great question. Here is my answer. God doesn't wear a watch, and he doesn't have a calendar, but he does work in seasons.
Oh, wow.
And so you can't always use every gift at once. I'm not singing right now. I'm speaking. I have a gift for speaking, a charisma, an ability to speak motivationally. I'm using that. I'm not singing, even though right now I can sing. I have a gift to sing. But this is not the season for singing. The show is not The Voice. I'm not supposed to be singing on this show, right? So I'm not singing. And it's just that simple. People get, oh, I have all these people that, please help me. I'm in despair. Fix my life. I need you to do this. I don't know what to do. Seasons. There are seasons in life, right? For example, we just mentioned my career. Well, there's a season when women can have children. So at this season, I need to be having my children. I can go to another country at 75 years old. I can't necessarily have a baby then. So this is a season that if I want to do that, I need to start having children. I need to do those things in my life. Doesn't mean I stopped being able to sing. Doesn't mean suddenly I cannot write any more books or anything. It just means right now the season is for me to be a mom. Now, how does that work for other folks who have many gifts and talents? Because one of the problems that happens when you have a lot of options is you don't take any of them. Mm-hmm. And so I meet some people who do absolutely nothing with their life, and they're so gifted that they actually get paralysis because they don't know what to do. What should I do? And so they sort of waste time. Mm-hmm. So let's think about seasons. What's the season, right? If you're 18 years old, it might be the season for you to go to college and get your education and get prepared to use your gifts and talents in your career. But if you're 55, it might be a season for you to mentor other people as they come up with what you have learned. So seasons will help you sort your gifts. You know, I don't really want to be 60 years old dancing in music videos. I don't. Now, other people might, but I don't. I know that's not right. You know, no one wanted to see a maternity me in a music video. So that changes the season. So seasons will help you. Here's the other thing that will help you. With many gifts and talents, service. Which one will help and bless people at the time? Your audience will not be helped at all if I burst into song right now. I mean, why? I mean, doesn't mean they can get the Stars of Heaven. They can get the Desire of Nations. They can go on iTunes and get all my music. I hope you will. You'll love it. But right now, it wouldn't serve them. It wouldn't be a blessing. It wouldn't help them. If you're trying to learn to be an entrepreneur and I start singing, it's nice. I'm glad you sang. Sounded great. But it didn't serve anyone. So a good way to decide which gift, how to go in a direction is, what season is this? And also, will this serve other people? Will this be a blessing to other people? If I do this gift at this point in my life, will it encourage people? Will it help people? Will it be something that adds to rather than diminishes my life and other people's lives? The next thing, when you have many gifts and talents, you know, we talked about seasons and we talked about service. Those are great ways to decide which gift to pursue or to walk with or to live with right at that moment in your life. And I want to say this, there's always such a thing as later. I don't want to say that so we procrastinate or become complacent, but I'm saying that if you're supposed to be in college right now getting your education, you don't need to be off on tour right now. You need to be in college getting your education. You can go on tour later. If you need to have children right now because TikTok, right, then you need to go ahead and do that. And you can always go to other countries or do something else later. So just because you're not using that gift today doesn't mean you'll never use it. And I think that's a fear a lot of people have. So, you know, maybe you are called to do this, but you might, you know, if you have two or three small children, you don't need to quit your day job and go off and, you know, I just have to leave everyone and go off and follow this dream that I have. It might not be the season for that. You might need to raise your family first. You might need to take care of some other things in your life, like your education or even practicing or lessons or getting better. Because sometimes just because you have a gift doesn't mean the gift is ready for prime time. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you might be pretty good at singing at your church, but if you're going to really go on The Voice, we better get you some lessons for a while, or we better get you some practice, right? And so a lot of times I see people who have a gift, but they're using it prematurely, or they haven't learned to use that gift to its best and most wonderful effect. Okay, so how else do we know what to do with our gifts and talents? We're just, you know, rather than slack or whatever, seasons will help us. Service will help us. But there's something else I found when it comes to gifts and talents too. Self will help us. Mm-hmm. Listen to yourself about your gifts and talents. I have a friend who played the piano beautifully. I mean, majestically, like, you know, and I know this because my family, bless their hearts, because I could sing, thought, you know, let's get her some piano lessons, and I'm terrible. Oh, no. I mean, oh, they deserve a refund, you know. But that's what people said, right? If you're going to sing, oh, you should be able to play the piano and accompany yourself. No, not all of us. Right. And see, sometimes with a gift, you need to know what's a gift and what's not. Sometimes you need to know when you're not gifted in an area. Just because I could sing, I will judge myself and say, I cannot play the piano in a way that you would like to hear it. So there's no sense in me practicing more or spending more money or anything else, because there's no scenario by which I will become a great piano player. That's okay. There's lots of great piano players, much better. So let's listen to them. But I'm saying that because somebody out there needs to hear that, because you're just practicing, you're just trying, you're just forcing something in your marketing, you're forcing something and it's not working. And sometimes you have to listen to yourself. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I get up and every time I go to do this, I feel sad and depressed and anxious and worried. That's a sign that maybe that's not your gift, even if you're good at it.
Mm.
I was not good at the piano, and so I had to be humble enough to say, wow, we're wasting a lot of time and money here. Let's give up. Sometimes you have to have the grace to give up, too. I mean, we talk about persistence. We talk about pushing forward. But sometimes we have to know, this is not my gift. This is not my talent. This is not my strength. And be humble enough to bow out or step back. And self will help us with that. If you're doing something for 20 years and it's not working, it's not prospering, other people don't want to pay you to do it, they don't want to hear you do it, they don't come to see you do it, maybe it's time to think that that's not really the gift you should be focusing on at this time or maybe ever. And so those things will help you. They'll help you prioritize the gift you should be using, when you should be using it, and even if you should be using it.
Wow. That, man, this is powerful. Power session, guys. This is what I call power pack indeed.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jess. I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What do you think you're doing, Kevin?
I was just going to drive home.
There are several warning signs present that you shouldn't be driving.
Like hearing voices?
Like your text to emoji ratio?
Oh, man, the selfies.
Selfie nailed it.
We all have warning signs that let us know that we're probably not okay to drive. Mine is pretending to be your subconscious.
Craig, come on, man, let's put a ride home.
So tell us, what are some of the greatest challenges and obstacles on the road to success? And how do we overcome them?
Okay, I would love it if we would redefine those terms.
Mm.
Yeah. I would love it if we would start thinking of challenges and obstacles differently in our lives. I have a Kindle book, What to Do If You Don't Know What to Do. And you can get that on Kindle and have lots of guided meditations and all that. But here's what I want to point out about challenges and obstacles. Well, let's think about, let's think about a Super Bowl or even the military. When people go to the military, they may be in great shape. They may not be. But immediately, they start putting them in exercises, right? They have to get up at 6 a.m. and run. I don't run. So if you ever see me running, you should run because I'm serious. There's something chasing me or it's an apocalypse or something. Run fast because I don't run. But there are people who never ran a day in their life, but they joined the Marine Corps, and now they can run, strong and healthy and all that. Wonderful. I do exercises. And I think it's wonderful when people do. But here's the thing. When you go to the military, those are challenges. It's challenging to do 100 push-ups, or it's challenging to do that many sit-ups, or it's challenging to put a pack on your back and run in harsh terrain. But if you don't do it, you'll die.
Mm.
Yeah. So is the challenge something to be avoided? No. The challenge is what gets you ready for the war.
Mm.
And so I want us to stop thinking about challenges as like, I don't want to go through anything, or I had to go through this and poor me. I want us to start thinking about, what am I learning from this? What is this teaching me? What is this changing in me that I can't take with me where I want to go?
Wow.
What is this doing? See, sometimes challenges come. Well, think about storms. There are big storm, a lot of destruction, but there are other storms that come just to clear the path.
Mm.
Anything that, you know, all the dead tree limbs and all the weak trees and everything else are now gone out of the way. What's left are the trees that could hang in there. Now, I'm not saying, because I have had some heartbreaking experiences in my life. I know we all have. I'm not speaking to that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, as entrepreneurs, I think a lot of people think that it will be just a smooth path. I will just start my business and money will rain from the sky and yay and great. But here's the thing. God's not a counterfeiter. He's not in heaven printing money and dumping it down here. We have to go through something to get success in our businesses, our careers, our arts, our whatever. And the challenges we face, what do they teach us? Well, they teach us which of our gifts and talents we should be using. Right? I mean, if you have a gift and a talent and it survives a challenge or an obstacle, probably that's what you should be doing. If it doesn't, then maybe that's not the gift and talent that you were destined to use. People, you go through a challenge or an obstacle, look at who's left. Look at who's stuck by you. Look at who's still there. Look at who still calls and texts and loves you. See, a lot of people, we don't know till some things happen. We don't know. We don't know what I love you means until we can see it. We can see people act it out. Now, here's the thing. When we're going through those challenges and those obstacles, the temptation is to become self-pitying, right? Poor me. Why is this happening to me? Because clearly we're the only person that anything bad has ever happened to, right? Nobody else on the planet does that. You know? And so we get, instead of saying, whoa, 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 I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. But here's some things I need to think about. Who can help me? Who can I learn from during this challenge or obstacle that will help me come out better on the other side? What do I need to know? What do I need to learn so I don't have to go through this again? One of the most important things you need to know about challenges and obstacles is it or is it a consequence?
Mm.
Mm. I know, right? Sorry. Bye. See you later. Don't be mad. Love you. But really, is it? And I meet people in business, especially small businesses, where we do everything ourselves, right? Entrepreneurs, we do everything ourselves and all. So is this really a challenge or an obstacle, or is it a consequence of a bad decision? Or perhaps disorganization, or just something you didn't know. And I'm not saying that, don't beat yourself up. I'm not saying that so that we all feel bad. I'm saying, but you got to know the difference. Otherwise, you won't learn from it. Right? Maybe you didn't get the necessary permits for your business, and now you're having trouble with that. That's not quite the same as a life lesson. That's something that, okay, now you know it's a consequence of not doing the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing and go on from here. And so is this a lesson or is it a consequence? You better know that. Figure that out real early in the game, because you want to learn from a lesson, but you want to correct a consequence. And that's very important. So that's what I would say when we face the challenges and the obstacles. Let's redefine them in our favor. Let's look at them in ways that benefit us, rather than beat us up. Let's try that.
Wow. So I'm going to kind of stray a little. This has been a lingering question in my lives, in my coaching lives. So I'm kind of going to bring it to you. I don't know why I feel led to, but we're going to go with this. The head and the heart. We've been having a lot of talk about the head and the heart. Now, as an artist, it is tempting to lead with the heart. But then people also say that you should lead with the head. So which one do you think is the more powerful of the two in terms of results and achieving success? Because I think passion is the heart and will is the mind. But what are your thoughts on this, Dr. Karima?
Well, I come from a tribal perspective. So that's a very Western school of thought. I don't think you can take any of it apart. I think you are a whole being. So if you leave your heart out of it and lead with your head, well, that's how we've gotten some of the historically worst wars in history.
Yeah.
Genocide comes out of that, you know. If you just lead with what you're saying with the heart, that's how you end up broke in grandma's basement, right? Just because you just led with the heart and that's it and that's all, you know, the end. I can't take them apart. And I'm sure that's my personal, as an Indigenous person, I'm sure that's my personal perspective of how I see us as a complete whole being that the Creator made. He made your heart. He wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to put it on a shelf and just, well, just suck it up and lead with your head and hate your job, but make a lot of money. He doesn't want you to put your head on the shelf and then just follow your dreams, no matter who you hurt or who you disappoint or who, you know, your light bill is, your lights are turned off, but follow your dreams. No, it all works together. You're a complete person. I would never say to my arm, go do whatever you want to do. Leg will be over there when you get ready. No, my arms and legs have to go together, right? So I think in my viewpoint, in my perspective, and the coaching and the sharing that I do, I'm assuming you have to have it all in balance.
Yeah.
If you have your head and it doesn't have any heart, that can make a monster. That's a sociopath. But if you have a heart and have no head, that's a fool. So I would just have to think, well, to me, I can't separate the two. So I would love to solve that question for you. But I think the way I would solve it is to say you can't take it apart. They have to be balanced.
Yeah.
I think there are compromises that you have to make. And that goes back to season. If you have two or three little kids, you cannot quit your job and go on the road as a rapper. You can't do it. Sorry, not right now. You may have to go get a job you don't like for a while, or you may have to really be disciplined about your finances for a while. That doesn't mean, though, that you'll never get a chance to do anything. Maybe you get to rap on or DJ on the weekend. Maybe you get to pursue your music career, you know, at a different point in your life. I don't know. I can't tell you. But I know that if you don't balance the two, your life will be unhappy, and boy, it'll probably be a mess.
Well, you said something powerful about the schools of thought. And one of the things that we hear a lot of people thrown out there is to follow your heart. Do what your heart tells you to do, to go after feelings, to chase emotions and hypes, and they call it passion. So what do you think about that?
I think passion is extremely important, but it's not the only thing that's important.
Right.
I mean, I think that you know, that's a very Western school of thought, and I'm sure probably someone who's more Eurocentric than I am could probably speak to that much better. But I come from a culture that believes a person is a whole person, and the whole person does not just mean you. It means you and your family. It means you and your loved ones. It means you and society. It means you and the community. If what you want to do in life, your passion is to litter and throw trash on the ground and dump stuff in the ocean and all, I don't think you should follow that. Even if your heart, you love doing that and it's fun for you, I don't think you better do it because it's not taking into account the rest of us and the community and Mother Earth and all of that. So again, I'm not able to take it apart. I can't. My heart isn't going to lead me to leave my child. It's not going to do it because my worldview doesn't allow me to do that. So a man came to me one time and he said that his wife was going to leave him because he was quitting his job to go on the road and become a rodeo cowboy.
I was speechless. Because to me, that your wife leaving you is kind of a sign that you're on a bad path. Because to me, success is holistic. Your family, your heart, your community, and what you want. It didn't sound like he was serving anybody by doing that, except himself. Didn't sound like it was a season to go do that either. You know, it didn't sound like a good season to do that.
But then people will teach that on the road to success, there's sacrifice, and they will tell you you have to lose some things. If you lose your spouse on the road to success because of what you and I very well know is selfishness, they will say, well, that is the cost of success. So what do we do about this mindset?
I think the only person we can decide for is ourselves. What is your mindset? But let's go back to what I said earlier about the definition of success. That may be someone's definition of success. That may be, but it's not mine.
Right.
So if I do everything in the world and I lose my family, my goodness, I'm not successful at all. But somebody else might be like, ah, there's other people out there. You know, I'll get a different family later. You know, they really might be. Wow. I'm not judging that. I'm saying I can't live with that. That's not my definition of success. I don't want that. I'm not happy with that. So let's go back to our definition of success and make sure that we get on the right plane. If you're going to do something that's going to cause you to lose your spouse, you better be real sure that the end game is okay with you. Mm-hmm. You better be real sure that if you are going to sacrifice, because I believe there's a different definition of sacrifice. I think sacrifice is a little bit different than that. But if you're going to do something, you better be real, real sure, because you can pick your sin, but you can't pick your consequences. So if you decide I'm going to stab people in the back and I'm going to just be a ruthless mogul and all this, you better be real sure that the aftermath is something that you can live with. I met a man once who had been in business, and he was an executive, and he did very well and prospered a lot, and he made a lot of money and he got a lot of opportunities. But he made some bad decisions along the way and ended up going to prison. Now, to me, that's not success. I don't care what money you made or how much champagne you drank, whatever. No. I that's not my definition of success.
Right.
But for him, he saw himself as a successful businessman. Well, okay. But let's talk about the fact that our definitions are different. So what's your definition? What can you stand? See, I can't stand to lose something. I can't sleep at night if I lose my integrity. I don't feel well if I lose my joy. I'm not going to lose my relationship with the Creator. I'm not going to let anybody make me unable to pray. So perhaps I have a different limit than someone who's like, no, I'm good. they don't care, right? Someone else might be like, oh, I'll do anything. No, I won't do anything. No, I won't. I have limits. And I think we need to know what those are, because otherwise it won't be sacrifice. It'll be a surprise. That guy that wanted to be the rodeo star told you about, he was surprised. He wasn't sacrificing his wife. He was surprised that she wasn't all in this. So I think that's what we better know. We better, what are my goals? What are my successes? What's my definition of success? Then the other thing is we need to be honest with ourselves. If you really just want to be rich and you don't care how you get that way, go ahead on and admit that. Don't pretend to be Mother Teresa or anything. Just go ahead on and say, you know what? I'm ruthless. I'm just, straight up. I'm just going to do, And if you're not, you better admit that too. You better know that about yourself too. And that's what I found with myself. I found out that no matter how many awards and accolades and books and TV and radio and awards and pageant titles and all these great things that I had, I would never be happy until I had a family of my own. So people can keep, I love it. Thank you so much for everyone who's ever given me awards. I appreciate you. I thank you. But I knew that would not be enough. That would not be enough for my life. I would not be able to be 95 years old, look back on my life and say, wow, look at all those awards and accolades, and not have family pictures and school pictures of my children. And so I press pause, and I'm having children. And that means that maybe I'm not on the road, and maybe I'm not making new music right now, or maybe I'm doing something a little different or whatever. but it's all right with me. So I'm saying at some point, be really sure of what you really want. Tell the truth about who you really are and make sure that your goals and your gifts and what you're doing with them are lining up with the true you.
So I'm going to get into your business a little, if you don't mind, because it's not personal, but it's a little personal. Why didn't you choose the path of getting a nanny and taking your kid or your kids on the road? Why didn't you choose that? I'm just curious. Sorry. Why didn't you decide to go on the road?
Well, life is long. I don't know that I won't do that once they're grown up some size. So right. We're not going on the road. We're just not. But I mean, you may check in with me and they may be 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, and who knows? I don't know. And that goes back to seasons. Let's go back to nothing has to be carved in stone, monuments in the yard. You don't have to build a statue that says this whole family only does this, or I only do that, or I would never do this. Sometimes you can be flexible. What happened to me in my life was that God taught me to be flexible. He taught me to be flexible. And so seasons come back. So, okay, maybe I have met people who told me that they really wanted to do something like be a doctor or a lawyer, but they flunked out of school or they messed around or they didn't do it when they thought they should have done it. And one of those people was my aunt. And she said, I really wish I'd have gone to law school. I was like, why don't you go? And she's like, because I'm 50. And I'm like, okay, but here's the thing. In 3 years, you're going to be 53, whether you go to law school or not. So you can be 53 with no law school and still be talking about, I wish I went to law school. Or you could be 53 and be graduating from law school and we're all eating cake and stop talking about what a wonderful thing this is. Okay. So I really want to caution people not to get wedded to this is how I am all the time, what I do, or this is beyond me, or this is not accessible to me, or whatever. And I think we have to take some ownership of ourselves in those situations as well. For example, one of the reasons I'm really bad at piano is because, I really didn't practice. If I'd have practiced 25 hours a day, I probably would have still been bad, but not as bad. So I have to take some ownership of that, too. That I didn't throw myself into it and dedicate all the hours. When I practiced a couple hours a day and was still bad, I quit practicing. There are other people who might have said, no, I'm determined. I will practice more. Not me. So I really can't blame anybody that I'm bad at the piano. I can't say, oh, it's destiny's fault. I'm bad. It's, my teacher. No, I have to take ownership of it too. And so sometimes we have to, when it comes to our gifts and talents and goals and what we want to do, we have to take some ownership of that. If my aunt didn't go back to law school at 50, she wouldn't have graduated. And now she has graduated and she is a lawyer and she's actually running for office right now, tribal office, and she's loving her life. And do this, she would really kind of have no one to blame but herself, right? So I really want to say that in terms of I can't make a lifetime decision today. I can make the decision for now and for this season today. So, no, I'm not going to get a nanny and take a newborn to Mozambique. No, not going to do it. But, who knows? I may, 10 years from now, who knows what will be going on? And I'm not, so I want to give people permission that we don't have to just decide. Business cards, that's one of the restrictions of a business card, right? When people have to say, this is who I am and what I do. It's so permanent on there. Yeah. And I want to challenge us to come out of that kind of thinking. I am an entrepreneur. I am a network entrepreneur. I am a social media influencer. I am a small business person. I am an entrepreneurial person. But that means I have a lot of threat.
Yes.
Not just I only do this and all. That's all. And so I think the answer to your question is seasons change. And that applies to everyone. That applies to all people. Seasons change. A lady came to me one time and she talked about the fact that she had this high-powered, demanding career. And then her mother, who she dearly loved, had gotten very ill and elderly. And she said, I don't know what to do. Should I scale back on my high-powered career and take care of my mom, or should I put her in a nursing home, or what should I do? I said, I don't know what you should do, but I do know this. You only get one mother. You only get one. So how will you have peace? How will you, when she's gone, when you think about her, your life, and you think about what you did for her, where, what will it take for you to have peace? I did everything I could for her. I did the best I could for her. Now, if that's the state of the art, you work real hard and you put her in a state of the art care home, okay. But it may be that you think, no, I want to be there. I want to take care. I want her to know I love her. I want her to know that. But you have to decide what you can live with. Because as far as I'm concerned, you can always go back and be high powered a little bit later. You can be high powered later. You know, you can do that later. But maybe you won't get the opportunity to see your child's first steps later. Maybe you won't get the chance to take care of your elderly relative and close out their life in a loving way later. Maybe you won't get the chance to, you know, fulfill your dreams with your spouse later. See, and I think we have to remember that. Seasons change.
This has been an informative, a very powerful session. Guys, I know that you are learning. I know that you are growing. And for me, I think it has been a very, I think the power for me is the confirmation. So many things have been confirmed about leading with my gifts. Even if you are in marketing, you can find a way to use your gift. You do not have to market like the next person. You don't have to be like the next person. And I challenge you, buy the books, follow the talk show. Guys, I mean, I don't even have to say this. You already, if you've listened to this interview, you already know. Plug into the power source. So, Dr. Karima, if there was one thing, just one powerful thing, one nugget that you could give our audience today to take them to 2019, what would that be?
I would implore you, all of you, while you're building a strong business, while you're building up your body with diet and exercise, and while you're building strong connections with network, build up a strong spirit too. How, whatever that means to you, make sure you have a spirit that can withstand storms and obstacles and challenges. Make sure you have a spirit that can encourage other people and be a blessing to them. So whatever that means to you, prayer, meditation, ceremony, whatever it means, just while you're building your empire, build up your spirit too.
All right. There you have it, guys. And tell us, if we wanted to connect with you, how do we do that?
I'd love it if you would Google A Conversation with Dawn Karima, K-A-R-I-M as in Mary, A, and listen to my show. We have encouraging people on that are doing amazing things. It's okay to get inspired by other people's lives. Don't just, you know, negative, horrible things happening all around you. No, no. Get some inspiration. And my show has that. And so when you listen to A Conversation with Dawn Karima, I believe you will be built up. You will be inspired. I'm Dawn Karima on Instagram and on Twitter, and I have a Facebook fan page, and you can find me there, and you'll get positive, uplifting content. And I'm thinking that really all of us need the music, the stars of heaven, and the desire of nations, because it's clean music, but it's inspirational music. It'll sort of be like a refreshment for your soul after all the business and all the things that we have to do. And you know, I have a brand new book on Amazon, From Utter Chaos Press, A Mother of Nations. And you can get it and you can read it. You don't even have to read it all at once. Just read a poem a day, like a devotional, or just read some, you know, when the crazy kids and those clients that won't act right and everything like that, just hold on, I'm going to have a poetry break and feed my spirit with some uplifting words. And those are the best ways that you can find me. Corporations, conferences, organizations, I come to speak. I love to speak. Sometimes people even bring me in digitally, right? I'll speak to you. Just, you know, they'll put me up on a giant screen and I'll be somewhere else and speak. So if your organization or conference or church or school or college or university, yeah, I've spoken to all kinds of folks and I love it. Love it, love it. So Dawn Karima, D-A-W-N, just like when the sun comes up, Karima, K-A-R-I-M-A, M as in Mary. And you can find me on social media, and you can find the show, A Conversation with Dawn Karima, just by typing in Google.
All right, guys, there you have it. All right, Dr. Karima, thank you so much for this amazing session.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.